Thank you for tuning in to the Read Together UMCNA podcast. Hopefully, these meditations offered by your fellow readers are giving you new insights into the scripture for each week. Don't forget to check out the Read Together UMCNA Facebook page for more thought-provoking observations. We encourage our readers to post their thoughts and comment on the ideas posted by others. Reverend Reed Turner shares how Israel has fallen away from God and must be reminded that the Lord God is the only God.
Second Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. The prophet Elisha summoned a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of olive oil with you, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him, get him away from his companions, and take him into an inner room. Then take the flask and pour the oil on his head and declare, 'This is what the Lord says, I anoint you king over Israel.' Then open the door and run. Don't delay." So the young prophet went to Ramoth Gilead. When he arrived, he found the army of officers sitting together. "I have a message for you, commander," he said. "For which of us?" asked Jehu. "For you, commander," he replied. Jehu got up and went into the house. Then the prophet poured the oil on Jehu's head and declared, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel. You are to destroy the house of Ahab, your master, and I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the Lord's servants shed by Jezebel. The whole house of Ahab will perish. I will cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. As for Jezebel, dogs will devour her on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and no one will bury her." Then he opened the door and ran. When Jehu went out to his fellow officers, one of them asked him, "Is everything all right? Why did this maniac come to you?" "You know the man and the sorts of things he says," Jehu replied. "That's not true," they said. "Tell us." Jehu said, "Here is what he told me. This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel." They quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king."
I'm a baseball fan. I enjoy watching baseball through the summer, whether it be little league, college, or minor league, and then going on to the major leagues. One thing that I've noticed when it comes to relief pitchers is that if a pitcher goes out to the mound and messes up in whatever inning that he goes out in, the manager later in the season may be a little hesitant to use that player in the same situation. Or sometimes they'll even change the role. If you think of a major league closer who blows one or two saves, the manager will change and go to somebody else in the ninth inning that can preserve the win for the team. Now, as we look through 2 Kings, we see at this time that the kingdom is divided. We have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. It's no longer this kingdom of Israel that was once under Saul and David, but rather two separate entities. And we get to read about the reigns of all the different kings that are coming through both of the kingdoms. And one thing in particular that stands out is that the writer is fast to say whether or not a particular king was doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, or if the king was doing right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, one part that really shows the reason and the idea behind what most of the kings were doing in some way or form to be evil in the eyes of the Lord is in chapter 9 when Elijah calls a member of the prophets and says, go to Jehu, go and take him away from his companions, go into a house where it is just them two, take this oil, and anoint Jehu as the king of the Israel people. And so that happens. And there's prophecy that goes with that. And what ends up going on is Jehu becomes the king, but Jehu has to go and take care of the king who is there already. Jehu has to go and kill the king, go and kill Jezebel, the mother of the king. And a lot of that is because of the fact that Israel has fallen away from God. Israel has fallen away from God. They're worshiping idols and other gods, Baal. And so Jehu goes through and he disposes of the king and all of the descendants. And Jehu also goes and kills all of the worshipers of Baal in chapter 10. It shows how God wants us to worship God, to make sure that God is who we are worshiping, and seeing how it was considered evil for a king to take away from that God, for putting up altars in order that burnt sacrifices could be done for Baal and other idols and gods that were not our God, not the God of Moses, not the God of Adam and Eve, not the God of Abraham. And so we see Jehu go and do the prophecy that was put before him, which really was kill those that have been sinning. Those who have taken the kingdom of Israel away from God. And then as we continue, we see Judah. We see one of the kings that was probably the most well-regarded king of Judah is Hezekiah. Hezekiah, who took away all of these altars. Hezekiah, who followed just as David did, as well as Josiah. Josiah went in and maybe even was a better king than Hezekiah for Judah. And it was all about whether or not the kingdom was being a kingdom of God, being a kingdom that worshiped the one God who brought together the people of Israel, that freed them from Egypt, the one God who loves us. Because God is present in our lives. God wants us to realize who God is, how God works in our lives. And God wants us to love God and only God. And so to read about all of these different kings, both some in the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, and how they took the kingdoms away from worshiping the one and only God, and how they were punished for taking their kingdoms away from the one and only God. It's just like that manager. That manager who changes the role of a pitcher based off its performance. That manager who says, okay, this pitcher has been struggling. It's not good for the team. And so therefore, I'm going to go with someone else. That's what we read in 2 Kings. That's what we see God doing. We see that God is the one and only, and that the kings that worshiped God and helped their kingdom see that there was one God. Those are the kings that are considered to have done well, to not have done evil. Now, I'm sure they weren't perfect, but it does seem like the author of this particular book wants to focus on the idea of God being the one and only, of God being the one we are to worship, that God loves us and wants and craves us to know God and only God, to put our trust in God, to realize that God is there and that God is working within us, even when we don't realize.
Dear God, we pray for unity in the body of Christ. We pray that you will give us capable leaders who will guide us with wisdom and humility. Give us the courage to tackle the difficult task of repentance and reconciliation when they are needed. Restore our worship so that it may be done in the spirit of your truth for your glorification. Help us to live in your presence so that your will may be accomplished in our individual lives as well as our collective churches, as we seek to make disciples for the transformation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.